It seems to be a case of fourth time lucky for the so-called Dr. Death, Philip Nitschke of Exit International, who's been trying to host a meeting and workshop on assisted suicide last night. Conference centre in Belvedere Court agreed to host it after three others had pulled out, but there's been much opposition to this. Niamh Evreen, spokesperson for the Life Institute, joins us on the line. A very good morning to you.
Morning, Michael.
He's had difficulty in organising this meeting and workshop because of people like yourself, I suppose it's true to say.
Well, I think it's actually because of just ordinary people making their concerns heard, and I think that's a good thing. And this is actually the fifth venue that Dr. Nitschke has tried to book for what I would describe as this thoroughly objectionable workshop. And in every case, people have phoned to complain. First the outreach centre, then Brussels Hotel, then the Macro Resource Community Centre, then the Carmichael Centre subsequently cancelled, and Dr. Nitschke as well. But now he seems to have found a venue in the Shomer Spree in Dublin. And I have to say I'm very disappointed with the people who run the Shomer Spree in that they wouldn't want to protect the people who Dr. Nitschke is targeting. And that's elderly people, people who have terminal illnesses, and I think most of all people who are suffering from mental illnesses such as depressive episodes. He's targeting them with these workshops. He's telling them that there's no better cure than what they had than to kill themselves, and I think that's a dreadful counsel. It's a counsel of despair, and it's also illegal in this country.
Well, to assist is illegal, but suicide is not, which is the point that is being made.
Yes,
and
of course,
he's saying that they should have a choice in the manner and timing of their death.
More than that, and the Criminal Law Suicide Act 1993 actually spells out that if you aid, abet, counsel or procure the suicide of another, that that's a crime. And I think that's an important distinction. Of course, it's not, you know, anybody who's commits suicide is not a criminal. It's a tragedy that has happened, and people who feel suicidal need our help and our support, and that's precisely the point. Dr. Nitschke doesn't want to offer them help and support. He wants to offer them death. And this is, you know, we heard Dan Neville, the TD, speaking about this during the week, and he represents organisations who do their best to help people who are suicidal to overcome this and to find life. And Dr. Nitschke is offering them the opposite.
Yeah, but if it is by choice, he's saying there's a peaceful way of doing it.
But see, the question of choice is a vexed one here, because Dr. Nitschke targets often is people who are mentally ill. And in many, like, do you know, Michael, I think has angered a lot of people precisely because in this country in particular, there's probably not a family who hasn't either been touched by suicide or by mental illness, especially depression, often chronic depression. And people who are in that state of mind usually are not really able to make this choice. And he's offering it to them at a time when they're not able to make that choice, but when they might seize upon that option. And to me, that is not only morally and ethically wrong, it's also a crime.
I can't argue with you if it is a case of offering this service, if you like, to people who are depressed, but nobody would ever legislate in that respect. I would imagine that if ever there was to be legislation for assisted suicide, that it would expressly prohibit that type of thing.
Well, actually, if you look just a little deeper with Philip Nitschke and you look at what he's put up on the internet about himself, not even what other people have written about him, but what himself and his organisation have put up on the internet about what they want to do, they go much, much further than that. They actually advocate not just assisted suicide for people with terminal illnesses or people who are depressed, but for all elderly people. They say, for example, one of his great ideas, Philip Nitschke's, is that everybody over 65 should get a lethal dose of some kind of medicine, and that they will have it there in their home. Every elderly person, everyone over 65 will get it, so that if they want to commit suicide, they can do so easily. Like, what kind of a society is this man trying to create? You know, and it also seems to me, to be honest, that he is very much an attention seeker. You know, since 1996, when he first took part in ending the lives of four people in Australia, he's gone around inventing machines which help people to kill themselves, speaking to very small groups of people throughout the world, trying to spread his ideology. It would seem that he, it would be far better that he directed that energy and that resources into making the end-of-life care better for people who are ill.
And we all have good days and bad days, and God knows, some days we feel up and some days we feel down.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous situation, undoubtedly, to have a pack like that, that on a bad day you might make a decision that you wouldn't have made otherwise, and it mightn't be a considered decision. And people would obviously oppose the idea of taking your life if you're fit and well. But I suppose an awful lot of us have watched loved ones die a painful death as well.
Well, see, that's certainly a point, and that brings up the whole issue of palliative care. And we know the wonderful work that people like the Irish Hospice Foundation do. And there was, incidentally, a very interesting article in the Financial Times recently where they looked at palliative care and they looked at the whole area of assisted suicide. And they made the point that 300,000 people died of a terminal illness in the UK last year. Only 27 of them, that's, you know, it's a tiny, tiny percentage, 0.001%, actually went to Switzerland to avail of legal euthanasia that's available there. And the point they made is that palliative care is actually excellent and it's getting better all the time. And that a lot of the fear that people have of dying is a fear of being in pain and a fear of suffering. And there's not really an understanding there of how helpful palliative care is, and that in the vast majority of cases that pain is, and suffering is actually relieved a huge amount by good palliative care.
But
you know, and that's again where I feel, I also feel that Dr. Nietzsche is coming here, you know, at a time when resources are being cut for things like mental health services and resources for elderly people. And, you know, it's a very dangerous situation. He's saying to people, if you're afraid of suffering, if you're afraid of being alone, if you're depressed, you can simply kill yourself, instead of demanding that better resources are made available to people who need our support.
Are there times, though, that palliative care, I mean, you said the majority of cases palliative care will ease the pain that people would have had in years gone by, but has it progressed to a point where there's no such thing as incurable pain now?
It's all about managing care, you know, and we've actually just commissioned the Life Institute some research and a new report on this whole area, on end-of-life care, on euthanasia and on palliative care. And it's amazing, just even given the initial research that we've done, how good it is and how extraordinary people who work in palliative care are, and how the extent to which they do relieve pain and suffering. And also the people who work in that area are very much opposed to euthanasia and to assisted suicide, because they can see the slippery slope that begins with it, you know, because first of all people talk about a right to die, but how soon does that become a duty to die? Like, you've got people like Baroness Warnock in England, who has already said that people with dementia have a duty to die, because she said they waste resources. So what happens when that kind of thinking becomes mainstream because of the efforts of people like Philip Nietzsche?
But could palliative care ever be described as a form of euthanasia, because isn't it right to say that sometimes the drugs that are used can indirectly see the demise of a person?
Well, you see, that's been greatly exaggerated. You know, sometimes I think when morphine or other pain relief is applied during end-of-life care, it reduces the lifespan very marginally. You know, and in any case, it's a double effect of the medicine. The medicine is not trying to reduce the person's life, it's trying to relieve pain. You know, but that's really, I think, a red herring that's been thrown in with pro-euthanasia campaigners, because the effect there is usually very marginal. It's not the same thing at all as deliberately taking a person's life.
Perhaps not, but the effect is pretty similar, if not the same.
No, it's not pretty similar, though, you see, Michael. It's a very marginal effect, usually. You know, it might reduce somebody's life by a very short span, but it certainly doesn't take an active role in killing them. And there's a big difference there.
But it's reducing the lifespan that could be described as euthanasia.
No, I don't think so, because the intention is simply to relieve pain, and nobody's against that. Nobody wants somebody to suffer unnecessarily. But unfortunately, in doing so, because most drugs have double effect. You know, for example, if you take a drug to reduce your cholesterol level, it can cause muscle wastage. You know, so a lot of drugs have a double effect. Unfortunately, it doesn't mean that the intention of the drug, for example, if you're on for cholesterol, is to cause muscle wastage. It's not. It's simply to probably save your life by reducing your cholesterol level.
Mm-hmm. What about these packs that he proposes that elderly people would have, just so that if they decide one day or another to make this grave decision, in supplying them to people, is that his intention? And if he did, is that legal?
Well, I would think that it is not legal under the criminal law 1993 Act, as I said to you earlier, anyone who aids, abets, counsels, or procures the suicide of another shall be, you know, shall be guilty of an offence. And I would actually call on Dermot Ahern now as Minister for Justice to intervene here. And, you know, I've been talking to the Gardaí about this during the week, and they've said that the instructions they got from the DPP is not to act on it right now. So it seems to me that they're waiting for Philip Meachie to actually administer this to somebody, or for somebody to die in a workshop before they do something. And to me, that's deplorable. If he was running a workshop on burglary, would they be this slow in acting? I think not. I think there's a need now to protect people who are vulnerable, especially the elderly and people who suffer from mental illnesses, and I would call on Dermot Ahern to intervene now and make sure that the law is upheld.
Despite your opposition, there's a risk that you yourself and others opposed to this media outlets. A big discussion last night on prime time about this programme now. All publicising his views.
Absolutely, do you know, and I think initially what happened was that ordinary people rang up these centres. For example, I know that the Macro Centre received a huge amount of calls following Dr. Nietzsche's appearance on the Pat Kenny show, and I would question why the Pat Kenny show had him on, why he was on prime time again last night. They're giving him a platform far greater than he deserves. Certainly, he told the Daily Mail that he was expecting five or six people at his workshop. You know, that's not somebody, I think, who should be on two of the main current affairs programmes of this country, especially when he's trying to espouse something that's illegal.
And since all that publicity, the Irish Times says this morning that there's 20 people registered.
Yeah, well, his workshop now seems to have attracted the attention of people in atheist Ireland for some extraordinary reason. I know this because a friend of mine who's a member of that forwarded me an email that was sent to him by the organisation. Now, my friend's an atheist who's completely opposed to assisted suicide, and he couldn't understand why they were being supportive of Dr. Nietzsche. So he seems to have gathered a following now who are following him for political or ideological reasons, perhaps who are not that interested in the workshop itself. But again, I think I would ask Thomas Breed to cancel the workshop. I would ask him in the interest of common decency to do so.
Yeah, they're quoted in the Irish Daily Mail today, spokesperson for Atheist Ireland saying that the debate on people's right to die should surround human empathy, compassion and the facts around suffering rather than religious beliefs.
Nonsense, you know, and I mean, both Atheist Ireland and Dr. Nietzsche have tried to raise his red herring again. This isn't actually about religion at all. This is about protecting people who are weak and vulnerable. And look, as my atheist friend said to me yesterday, this has nothing to do with whether you're a Catholic or I'm an atheist. This has got to do with thinking that life is sacred. You don't have to be a religious person to do that.
Will you be protesting then at this planned meeting?
Well, we're going to see how things develop now over the morning, because I'm anxious to get in touch with the guards again and with Dermot Ahern, and I would urge him to do his duty and to get this meeting cancelled.
It's not illegal to talk, though, is it?
No, and it should never be illegal to talk, but it should be illegal to aid, abet, counsel, or procure the suicide of another, as clearly stated in the Criminal Law Act 1993, you know, Michael, and I think that's important. That law was written to protect vulnerable people, and it should be upheld, otherwise it's just a nonsense.
Okay, Niamh, thanks for joining us on the
program. Thank you very much.
Thank you indeed. Niamh Ivrean, spokesperson for the Life Institute there.